Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the only Savior of mankind. It would be interesting to know just what
you think when you think about patience. But if you are a Bible student, then you know what God thinks about patience. There's a little saying that my wife has repeated often, that patience, and I think it's seldom found in women and never found in men. But I tell her that's not patience. The center verse of the Bible is Psalms 118:8. And that is, it's better to trust in the Lord than with confidence of man. Not that we can't have confidence of man, but it's better to trust in the Lord. We live in a land that is dangerous. It is a place where we're journeying through. And it's going to be a struggle for us to make it. And we're going to have the same patience that Job had if we're going to make it. And do the same things that he did. We'll look at Job maybe a little bit later on. Because God told Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And I think we ought to consider Job too. And the need of patience, it's a tremendous need in our churches and in our lives, and everyone as parents, whatever you are, to have patience. Some of the definitions of patience is bearing pain or trials without self-complaining, forbearance, and in provocation. And it's the power to endure conflict without complaint. So our text verse in Hebrews 10:36. Is, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise." After ye have done the will of God. You know, we like to know what God's will is. And he would like us to know what his will is. But sometimes we do not know just exactly what God wants. Job didn't know anything that we know about Job tonight when he started his journey. Job was a man just like Abraham. He was in an era of time without the Mosaic Law. Now, how do you think Abraham and Job lived? In Mark 12, you can turn to that. There's a little story there of the scribes and Sadducees. I'd like to just bring some thoughts out on that. Verse 28 talks about the scribes came and having hard questions, having heard them reason together, they perceived This scribe had perceived that he answered them well. And then he asked them, what is the first commandment in all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now that's how Job lived. And that's how Abraham lived. It is the law of God, and it's still in existence, that we must do that. And if we do those, keep those two laws, we'll keep all the rest that we ever have to attend to. We will not do anything. We are soldiers traveling through this world. This is not our home. We're in strange territory. And we have an adversary. And he wants... It's a conflict that we don't have ability to control it, because it's between the forces of heaven and the forces of hell. And we stand in the middle of that and journey through life and endeavor to do God's will and please him. Endurance is what it takes. Back to Hebrews again. There is a diligence that has to be on the part of every one of us. That's why they talked about the farmers, Gail, and they put the crops in, but they have to be diligent to put it in. And they have to put it in at the right time. You can't plant your crops halfway through the summer. You got to put them in when it's time to put them in. Talking to an old German Baptist man one time, and he had some friends in the South, and they didn't worry about getting crops in that much. But he said, well, you live in the South and not in the North. He said, in the North, we have a schedule, and we have a time to get our crops in and a time to take them off. And if we don't do it, we don't get them. Too many people today, I believe, are living in the South. They are not diligent enough, and they may not make it through. There are things that we face today in our lives and in our churches that we need to be alert to the place where we are and what we're doing. And the devil is so slick, he's so sly. And he comes to us in the smallest way to draw us away after them. And history is replete with failures of people that didn't have endurance. They were not patient. The trial of our faith, 1 Peter 1:7, is much more precious than gold that perishes, though be tried with fire, may be found under the praise and the honor and the glory at our Lord's coming. The trial of our faith. 1 Timothy, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. We need faith in God, faith to trust Him, faith to do what He asks us to do, faith to obey Him and the people over us, the landscape around us. It's not conducive to being victorious, unless we take seriously. Let's get back to Job. When Satan came to Job, God asked him, What do you think? Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, I've considered him, but you have a hedge around him and I can't get to him. Now, jumping back to the New Testament, Jesus told Peter, He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. How many times may have Satan went before God and asked about me and wanted to sift me? He sifted Peter, and Peter hit the grinder. He didn't stand up. He denied his Lord three times, just like that. But Jesus said, I'll pray for you that when you fail, you'll not go down. And Peter was very repentant. He went out and wept tears. But thinking of Job, we know the story well of what he did. And if you read through the book of Job, just in his comments, you know that he was defending a life that was right. He did the things that was right. The men, the three friends who were those little sly devils coming in and wanted to tear him apart and make him fail. But Job had built something up that Satan could not get through. And he kept doing it. First of all, we read that he offered sacrifices for his sons. On your birthdays. And he offered sacrifice. And when that was over, if they had committed any sin, if they had cursed God, had drank too much and cursed God, he offered a sacrifice for each of his children, I believe. So he was a priest, and he was taking care of the issues. It says that Job did that continually. Now, Job also took care of the poor. You can read that. He goes through that in one of the chapters, and he feeds the poor. Nobody goes away from his door hungry. He takes care of the widows, and he does all those things. That's what he was doing. His life through, he was taking care, and God blessed that. And with every day that Job lived and done those things, he built the hedge up higher and wider. Every day, the hedge went up higher and wider. And Satan had totally miscalculated on Job. I don't believe the things that Job had. Why, no, he didn't care for them. For when he lost them all, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that, and even whenever his children were slain and all his crops going like darn tortoise, he still had an anchor in God. And for the whole book of Job, he stood up against his friends, and he, miserable comforters ye are, They tried to run him down. They lied about him. They told him the things that he didn't do that he did do for the people around him. You know, that's what we need to do. What's our devotional life like? How much time do we spend reading the Bible? You know, that's the most important thing that we can do in our Christian experience, is have a tender and a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he can speak to us through his word and give us the guidance we need. Many people in my ministry, as I sat with people with other ministry, when they failed, that was the first thing they admitted that they left behind, was their devotional life. They didn't have time for it. And Satan can tell if you're reading your Bible. He can see you doing it. And he knows when he sees you on your knees praying. And then go out and fulfill the word of God and keep his commandments and do good to your neighbors and all of that. But that's the only way. We build. Christ does not come into our lives and just make us the perfect people we ought to be. But we have to build up our faith by endurance, suffering, bearing the pain, still loving God, trusting God no matter what we go through. Trust him. Believe that it's all for the right and the good. Endurance is spoken of much in the Bible. And in Job, there were five doctrinal statements that Job made in the Bible, in his story and through his friends. And the first one was in Job 9:33. And there Job just cried out for a daysman. There was no man to stand between him and God. And that's what he said. That one God could lay his hand on somebody, lay his hand on God and his other hand on man. And be an intercessor for them. And argue for them. Today we have that intercessor. We have the man in the middle. And he's laying his hand on us. And his hand on God. The other one was that in 16:19, that Job said he has a witness. You know, Brother Swatera was involved in an accident. It wasn't his fault. Somebody else ran a stop sign, but it looked like he could have ran a stop sign too. And the man that ran a stop sign said, "You are at fault." And it looked like he could have been. But the truth was, it wasn't. And it was a very tacky situation. But it just so happened that a man on the corner had a video camera out on that intersection. And they took that video clip to the officer, the judge, whoever it was. Case settled. He had a witness. You know, when we stand judged and we're free, we have a witness in heaven to help us through those journeys, through the difficulties that we face. Also, he said he has a record on high. God is keeping track, and he has a record of everybody here. He is writing things down from day one, from the first day that we gave our hearts to Jesus. He is keeping a record of us. He knows what we do and what we don't do. And God has a magnificent memory. Because he don't forget nothing, but he didn't ever learn anything you know. Because he knows what people are going to do before they do it. But he has a witness. We have a witness there. And Jesus is there. A record on high. Psalm 19:25. Job comes off of that tremendous statement. He said, "Those skin worms destroy this body. Yet in my flesh shall I see God." He believed in the resurrection, a literal resurrection, a bodily resurrection. He said, "In my flesh shall I see God." Tremendous faith. Verse 30, chapter 33:23-24, he talks about a ransom. And the word ransom is in the center conference is atonement. So he had a ransom in heaven. Christ, God had done something for him. And then in another 36:18, he talks about the wrath of sinners, of wicked men. And they have no great ransom. They have no great ransom. Turn to James 2. James 1. This is James comes off with that of patience. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Can we do that? Can we count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation? It seems hard. But the scripture tells us that we're supposed to take joy for the spoiling of our goods. And we do well to others who do evil to us. We turn the other cheek. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, endurance. Faith worketh patience. But let patience, endurance, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. And that's completely contrary to endurance, working and laboring to do what's good and right. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have, as Christians, we need to have one goal and one mind. It has to be for Jesus Christ. He won't take a double-minded man. He can't work with a double-minded man. If you do one thing one day and do something wrong the next day, that's how nominal Christians live in America today. They believe in Jesus, and they may have confessed their sins, but they never give them up. They believe they can go to war. The Bible condemns that. They believe they can divorce and remarry, and the Bible condemns that. but they live in those states. They believe they have a responsibility to the government. But we don't. We are ambassadors for another kingdom. And we must be solid in our minds in what we believe, and eager to know more and understand God's word. Turn to Hebrews 12. There's many scriptures. I have thought just about going through one passage and analyze it. There's appeal to hold fast in chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Enter into the holiest of holy. In other words, we can enter right in and call upon God our Father through Jesus Christ and through his blood. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That's endurance. Doing it irregardless of what other people do, we hold fast. We hold fast to the faith of our fathers, and we do what God wants us to do. We obey him in everything. And we obey those that have the authority over us. And let us not consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What else can we do in the church but have a brotherhood where we are to consider one another and to provoke each other to love and to good works? People have borne their sorrows and their griefs. And the only place to take them is to God when you are suffering. God knows you're suffering and he knows why you're suffering. Maybe it's your fault, maybe it isn't your fault. I thought of Hannah. You know, she had an adversary, that other woman. And she just was hard on Hannah. Just run her down, and she wasn't good enough for a wife. She couldn't have children. And Hannah finally come to the place where she needed help. And rather than eat, she went to the tabernacle. She went where God was. And she knew that she could get help there. And she stood by the post and prayed to God, prayed. And Eli accused her of being drunk. You know, here was a sorrowful woman, had a burden on her heart, asking God for grace, asking for a child. And Eli accused her of being drunk. And she said, I am not drunk, I am a sorrowful woman. She prayed, and God, and Eli said, go in peace, and God grant you your petition. And her prayer was answered. Not only that, I think she had 6 more children after Samuel. But there's no place to go when we are suffering. We must endure the test of faith. Put on the whole garments of God. Serve him with peace, happiness, and diligence. We cannot serve him any other way. Hebrews 12 talks about suffering. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, which refers back to chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. Jumping over to verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by their many be defiled. It says, consider Esau, who gave, sold his birthright, and when he wanted it, he couldn't get it. With tears he cried, with strong cryings and tears. On in chapter 12. I thought that was the one it's before the end. It's actually verse 5. Consider Jesus, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Have ye forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening hand of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Whereof all partakers. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, jumped ahead of myself, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they forbearing for a few days chastened us, and after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. We need to exercise ourselves in the things that God has called us to be diligent, earnestly contending for the faith, striving. Paul said, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God. He was pressing into the kingdom. Matthew 11, 12. I'll close with this verse. It says from the verse 12. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there was not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Brethren, we need to storm the gates of heaven. We need, it's a privilege for us to call upon God and to, it says it takes it by force. In other words, they are striving, they are doing what they need to do every day, plugging away, and they are storming the gates of heaven to have God help. We need to have a determination. We need to be patient as well as in little things like thought earlier. About if you have to wait 15 minutes till mother gets the supper ready. That's just common patience. It's kindness and gentleness. And if you get stopped on the interstate and you got a long line of traffic and you don't know how to go, you can't get out. You can bear it. Everybody else is waiting. But you don't need to sit there and blow the horn. But patience is really endurance, enduring everything for Jesus' sake. It'll be worth it all someday. God bless you.